Before we get to this episode, just to say thanks to everyone who's bought my new book, Champion Thinking, How to Find Success Without Losing Yourself. Published by Bloomsbury, the response has been terrific. It's an Amazon bestseller. It's been top 20 in the airport charts consistently, and the reviews have been terrific right across the board. And if you like this episode that you're about to hear on Flow, you'll be sure to enjoy Champion Thinking. Head to my website, simonmundy.com, or Amazon, Waterstone, Smith's, places like that, to get your copy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, and thank you for joining me for this bite-sized episode of the Life Lessons podcast with me, Simon Mundy, in which we revisit one nugget from one of my previous conversations and have a closer look. How can you have as many good days as possible? I think that's such a valuable question to consider. It's so easy to continually be looking to the future and pay too high a price in the present as a result. Francis Horton is a five-time Olympian who won 3 silver medals, 4 world championship golds, and held 2 world records. Early on, she set 2 athletic career goals: to compete in as many Olympic Games as possible and to win Olympic gold. Eventually, that drive and need to win gold led to burnout, and so she realized she needed to redefine success. It led to a profound epiphany. It was about collaborating with other people and appreciating them along the way, not simply continually looking to success in the future. Frances retired on the Olympic podium in 2016 as part of the first British women's 8 ever to win an Olympic medal. And the picture of her and her teammates beaming with joy, which you can see on her website while holding hands on the podium, speaks volumes about her change in outlook.
I was obviously really conscious that I still hadn't won, and I felt like it was one of my goals was to win the Olympics. And I had had a standpoint of whatever crew I was in saying, look, we can do it, and this is how we've done it before. This is what we need to do to, you know, to win. This is what it should feel like. But the crews were getting slower and slower. I was getting more and more frustrated, and I was passing that frustration on to my teammates, and it was just not really much fun to be around me. And this constant pushing, although it was well-intentioned, it just led to me getting injured and ill over and over and over again, until the point where it was really my body's last way of telling me, look, you've got to stop. You can't keep pushing. You can't keep pushing yourself, and you certainly can't keep pushing others. And so I had a back injury. I was lying on my living room floor. I think it was about 10 days, 2 weeks, simply swapping a bag of frozen peas for a hot water bottle, peas for the hot water bottle, over and over again. And it was like this was the physical manifestation of the emotional load that I was carrying and not at that point processing in the right way. So it obviously came out in injury. And I remember at the time, I don't know if you know, like the film Philadelphia, there's a Bruce Springsteen title track, and it starts, "I was bruised and battered. I couldn't tell what I felt. I was unrecognizable to myself." And that is, for me, always summed up that time, because I was numb. I was so stripped down. I knew it wasn't working. I knew others had sort of lost their faith that I could be a part of good crews and teams. And I was essentially sort of stripped bare and didn't really have the energy left for positive emotion. So it just took time until I was able to sort of re-engage my brain and realize, you know what? Something's got to change. And I had this I had 2 years left. So the way I see it now is I sort of reconciled myself with not winning and said, you know what, I'm going to shake hands with defeat and say, okay, fair enough, I'll let that version of me go, because that version of me had to go. And that was when I redefined success, because it's all very well saying, well, I'm not going to think like that anymore. That doesn't work. But I had to, if I was going to carry on and attempt to get to Rio, I had to sort of have something that really meant to me clearly what the ultimate experience in sport could be, but for that not to be reliant on winning. And that's when I really did a very proactive, reflective process of looking back over the best crews, thinking, okay, what did I value? If I could get to that end point of a podium again, how would I want to feel when I stand there? And actually, how do I bring about my best performances? And all of these things converged, this realization that it wasn't about being focused on winning. It was actually being focused on what can we create together. And that mindset, and that was when I sort of came up with this vow to myself that what I wanted to achieve was to stand on the Olympic podium with my arms around my teammates, sharing a feeling of joy, not relief. Absolute joy and the ability to look each other in the eye and celebrate each other and what we had created, and not relief that it was over. I was pretty sure that if we'd won in Beijing, I would have been relieved that we had won. And I had crossed the line in London and I was pretty relieved that was over. When I had that clarity, it was like this hose pipe of stress. When your hose pipe is all like twisted and the water won't come out and then it bursts out and there's just so much tension everywhere. Once I'd sort of figured this stuff out, that's when the hose pipe untwisted and things started flowing again. And oh my goodness, I can't tell you how quickly my injury went away. I didn't get injured again in those last 2 years. And I was just so different to be around. The really tricky thing was to hold on to that mindset in an environment that is very much focused on making sure that we get results. And so that was tricky, but I just knew almost that this point in time was a line in the sand that I would not let myself walk back over. I'd said goodbye to that person. I'd shaken hands with defeat, and that was that. This was a different way forward. The thing that actually I really, really value is that collaboration with other people and realizing that my very best performances had come when I had a mindset not of, you know what, we're really supposed to win. It was actually, what can we create together in a sort of limitless perspective? So when I knew I had a limited amount of time left, I said, well, you know what, if I've got a limited number of days, if I could have as many good days as possible, this is what they'd be like.
So it's an orientation away from this, okay, we're building towards this moment in the future, to enjoying this day, changing from being future focused to now focused, and in the process taking care of the future.
Yes, it was that appreciation of each moment, and that one moment can lead on to another, on to another, on to another, in a building of momentum. For me, I get so much more out of it when I'm appreciating the moment of working together with other people. And, you know, it's a bit like, I think I really like gardening. And I think of it like...
Very good for you. Very good for you.
Yeah. But whenever I'm gardening, it's not like I want to get it done. DIY, I want to get done. I want it over. I want that whole field. But gardening, I just enjoy doing it. And there isn't this end point, and there isn't this achievement at all. It's this thing that is continually, as you say, evolving.
Thank you for listening to this bite-sized episode of the Life Lessons podcast. If you could please share this episode on social media or with someone who you think might benefit, I'd be immensely grateful. Until next time, have a great week.